Welcome to worship at Advent. Beautiful scenery outside. Don't get too distracted, but it's beautiful. Snow in the trees as long as we don't have to work in it. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting. Please be seated.
God will make his presence known, not through flashy deeds or a great person of great military might, but through his steady, gentle companionship with those who are downtrodden and those who need hope. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant of the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 89, and it's found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. My hand will hold him fast, and my arm will make him strong. No enemy shall deceive him, nor any wicked man bring him down. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and love shall be with him, and he shall be victorious through my name. I shall make his dominion extend from the great sea to the river. He will say to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." I will make him my firstborn and higher than the kings of the earth. I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his line forever and his throne as the days of heaven. Christ is declared Lord of all, the ultimate authority and the supreme decider. All else falls away, and anyone who professes this truth reaps its benefits. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Christ.
I'll be reading from the third chapter of Luke. This is the story of Jesus' baptism. I want you to think about something before I read it. It says that the heavens opened. What in the world would that mean? And then that something like a dove descended upon Jesus. It doesn't say it was a dove. That's how we picture him. But what was the awesomeness of that moment, that it was recorded like that. And a voice from heaven that spoke in a language the people could understand, the language of the day in that part of the world. Just an amazing revelation that has so many different parts to it. I read starting at chapter 3, verse 15. Now, while the people were in a state of expectation, and all were wondering in their hearts about John, that's John the Baptist, as to whether he was the Christ. John answered and said to him, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I have a family up from Florida for a few days, and this morning when I got up, I noticed that the lawn, in addition to being covered with snow, every square inch of the lawn was covered with footprints. Because my Florida grandkids, late last night, after I went upstairs, had a snowball fight. It was just fun to see. We sometimes have deer in the snow, but this was everywhere. And so I'm sure that that means that there are a lot of wet gloves and coats in the house, and I'm hopeful they'll clean them up, but I know they won't. So this morning, I want to speak out of the Old Testament reading that you heard from Luke, from chapter 42, one verse, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which says, "He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged." Last week, I spoke a bit about New Year's resolutions and about how it's a good time to start over and not look back, but to go forward. And this week, I want to give you just a little different perspective. There are things in our life that we can't do for ourselves, where we need help from the outside to lead us through. And this passage talks about that. In another translation where it talks about here the weakest reed or the flickering candle, it's translated bruised and broken. And when we're bruised and broken, we need help to get whole. This is a messianic prophecy. The whole chapter is. And the concept is when the Messiah comes, who was revealed to be Jesus, that he would deal with his people who are bruised and broken, who are like that reed that's bent and like the candle that's flickering. He would bring restoration. He would straighten them out. He would bind them up and restore them to wholeness. We can't do that for ourselves. So Isaiah, in this one verse, writes about two different plants that were prevalent in the days of the prophet's writing. One is reed and one is the flax. Reed often grew along the river, especially the River Jordan. They could grow to heights of 12 feet tall. They would be used for things like walking sticks, musical instruments. They would be used sometimes, the ends would be sharpened, and they would be used by fishermen to catch fish in the river. And sometimes the reeds were crushed almost into a powder, and they were used as a fragrance that people would wear, women I'm talking about. And then flax is a delicate plant that was grown and harvested since ancient times. And what would happen is the flax would be gathered, dried out, and turned into thread from which linen would be woven, or a form of linen cloth. If you remember in the story of in Joshua, when spies went into Jericho before the attack, some of the spies were hidden on the roof of Rahab's wife, who used to be Rahab's house. Rahab used to be a harlot, and she had flax that was drying on the roof. So that was a common thing to do. And then flax becomes cloth, but a second use of it is the thread would also be used as wicks so that there would be light in the house at night. There would be a saucer or a lamp with oil in it, and a piece of wick would be soaked in the oil and then stuck up and then lit to provide light in the house. So again, the verse, "He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering flame. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged." Both of these scriptures or ideas talk about people who are struggling, who don't have strength in some way. They're bruised on the inside or on the outside. And first about the reed. In the region of the Jordan, boys, when they're out shepherding, would take reed, hollow it out, put some holes in it, change the ends of that piece of reed a little bit, and make it into an ancient version of a flute and play music while they were tending the sheep. But if the reed got bent while they were working on it or they dropped it, in the mud. They just throw it away. It was useless. Sometimes the reed instrument would be cracked on the inside. It'd be of no use. They'd just throw it in the river. The revelation of Isaiah is the Messiah doesn't do that with us. He doesn't throw us away because we're cracked on the inside or because we're bruised. His specialty is turning bruised, bent reeds into beautiful instruments that can reflect who he is. It's an awesome picture. And then the idea of flax that was woven into linen. This will seem odd, but the wife in the home, one of her core responsibilities was to make sure that there was always oil in the lamp so that at night that wick made from flax could be lit and provide light in the home. And if she ever allowed the level of oil to go down too low, the wick would be ruined, it'd be charred, it'd have to be thrown out. And if a woman ever allowed that to happen, it was a huge embarrassment. That was one of the key roles. Without the wick, if it was charred, there would be no light in the house. And here again, the same concept from reeds. Jesus doesn't throw away someone who fails to function in the way that they were meant to function. He doesn't banish, but he restores and re-equips a person who is weak. And a little bit later in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, familiar words starting at 29, he gives strength to the weary. He who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow tired and weary and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And then in Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He doesn't say, this is Paul's translation, he doesn't say, just get over it. He brings healing. So what does that mean? A part of it, obviously, as the Messiah fulfills the prophecy in just powerful ways. And the Lord is in the business of restoring families, restoring hope, bringing someone who was lost back to the Lord so that there's wholeness in our lives. It's a powerful promise that Jesus fulfilled. And I want to talk a little bit about applying that to my experience yesterday. We had a homecoming service honoring my brother's wife, Linda, who had died exactly two weeks ago, just right after this service. And it was a wonderful, poignant, good time when many, many people were together and we shared lots of good memories. But I want to give you a little background to something that happened to me prior to the service. Earlier in the week, Monday or Tuesday, in one of my file folders, I had found a tiny picture about 2 inches by 2 inches from my ordination in 1972. And it was badly deteriorated from all those years of being just hidden away. There were spots on it. And so I sent it to one of my granddaughters via text. And with one of her apps, she restored the picture in really remarkably so that I want to take it and have it framed. And I looked at that. Tammy was there, obviously, with me at the altar and in my robes, which are long gone, and hanging around my neck was a cross that I had been given by the church. I was the first person that went into vocational ministry from Christ the King Church, and so they honored me with a beautiful silver cross. Sometime around 30 years ago, it disappeared. Now, I'm positive it was entirely my fault. I lose and find things all the time. It's a spiritual gift. But about 30 years, it was gone. And what happened yesterday was right before the service when we were busy fine-tuning everything. A lady came up to me with this envelope, Name's Kathy. She is part of Altar Guild Ministry at Christ the King. And she said, I want you to know that just a little bit earlier this week, I was going through some things in the church, and I found in a drawer something that had your name on it. And it was my ordination cross. I was stunned, and I asked, how did you know it was mine? And she said, your name's in the back of it. I'd forgotten. And so I thought it was a cool thing. I had found that picture earlier this week. This lady found my cross, which it's not something that will change your life, but for me it was a reminder of how the Lord restores things in our life that we had thought were gone forever. And so for me, that will be a keepsake that will be with me for the rest of my life. When I die, my kids won't care at all, but I have my cross. I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, here's a better part of what happened yesterday. We've had 12 grandkids, and one of them that I hadn't seen since Tammy's death came to the service, and we talked at the service and back at the house for a real long time. He has been involved in destructive behavior. We wondered if he would even live. And he came and said, I can't believe it, but I want to tell you, I found my way back. I want to be a part of who I started out to be as one of the family. And he gave me a hug and he said, I'm back. I got a cross, but I got a grandson. And it's one of those things that he began to talk about all of the destructive things he was involved in. Friends around him died from gunshots and from drugs and from violence. He recounted 14 people in his life who are now dead. And by God's grace, he isn't. He's back, he's whole. That's what the Lord does in our lives. He takes that which is broken and bruised and restores it. He takes that which is lost and he finds it and brings it back. And so that's the basic thing I want to impart to you today, that it may be something emotional. It may be a relationship. It may be someone that you thought, like my grandson, who is long gone, that God is redeeming his people and making his people whole again. There are things that you can't do. I couldn't retrieve this. I couldn't bring my grandson back. But God, by his grace, does that. Sometimes I believe we underestimate the power and the caring of the Lord in our lives. He's a personal God who didn't create us and then went somewhere beyond the galaxy, but he's intimately involved in our lives every day. So hear this as I close. Again, Isaiah 42:3. He will not crush the weakest reed. At times, I'm the weakest reed. He doesn't crush us and throw us away or put out a flickering candle. I'm a candle person. I love candles. He doesn't, when a candle wick is burned, he doesn't throw it away. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. Is there wrong in your life? He will make it right. That's our Lord. That's his power in our lives. Let's stand together and share our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
In prayers of the people are Form 5, and they're found on page 6 in your bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially for Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the forgiveness of sins, For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, we especially call attention to those listed in our prayer requests. Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill and Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Arthur, Tony, Eliza, Sylvia, Kayleen, Jack, and we pray for comfort for the family and friends of Linda Larson. For refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be received and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that, with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to discern your will for Advent Church family. Please join in with me reading. Reveal to us through your Spirit the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided to us during this season of discernment. We are grateful for our lay leadership who has shouldered extra burdens. Just as you have empowered our parish leaders, Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open us to what you would have
for us every new day.
Open to us what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with a gift.
Simple when you're going through.
Thank you, Denise, for that informational piece. There will be no lunch, so we'll start the gift session immediately after the service. This is one of the two faith formation activities that that Advent is offering right now. We'll talk about another one in a minute. This is an opportunity for us to really grow in our faith and to be led by an individual who's got a passion for this subject, is an eloquent speaker, Christ-centered man. So please join us for this gift session. Bruce is coming. Pete.
Go ahead, go.
No, I'll let you go.
Please, you're
all right. Gentlemen of Advent, this is a quick reminder. Tomorrow night we meet at the Harry Buffalo at Great Northern Shopping Center at 6:30. So come join for good food, good conversation, and good communion. Thanks.
What is a hairy buffalo?
It's a buffalo with hair, you idiot.
Good morning, Advent.
Good morning. Good morning.
5 years ago, our brother Jason Evans called me to the front here during announcements for a lovely presentation that totally surprised me. He presented this plaque. If I may read it, Bruce Finch for 25 years of beautiful music. Your Episcopal Church of the Advent Choir family. Well, that was lovely, except it was only 20 years. So I'm here today to announce that the plaque is officially correct. It's now been 25 years. And with the Lord's willing, I hope to be another 25 years.
We'll have that one made up soon.
You better present it soon. But if it was another 25, that would make it 98 years old. Somehow I don't think that's necessarily in God's plan. He's blessed me by playing the organ, which I enjoy so much. It's such a blessing that he has given to me when I'm playing the organ, especially 8 years ago when my son, Billy, of 36 years old, passed away. I received a lot of comfort of just playing the organ by myself here in the church and in service. And then this past summer, passing on my wife, and then, again, playing by myself here, and then for the service. But I started out 60 years ago, that would have been age 13, in the Baptist church where I grew up. And I played 35 years in the Baptist church. And then the Lord's led me now to Advent, where now it's 25 years. So when that time comes where the Lord has called us home, when y'all come to join together, please just follow the church music, those wonderful Baptist hymns and some of the better Episcopal hymns. Just follow the music as I'm playing the mighty pipe organ in the sky. And the address will be God's address of Cloud 9. Thank you, Advent.
Tomorrow during the day is the Eliza Jennings ministry team going there at what? Max, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock, right. So Eliza Jennings in the afternoon and Harry Buffalo Monday night. Eh? So I mentioned earlier, there's a another insert in the bulletin. This will be a new series that will be starting at 9 o'clock on January 27th, after the annual meeting, the Sunday following the annual meeting. This is A Church in Babylon. It's a series authored by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who is the was senior pastor for 36 years at Moody Church in Chicago. Pastor Lutzer has written this series on the church in Babylon, basically drawing the parallels between the church today in the culture of Babylon that we find ourselves and what the Jewish exiles did, how they responded under the circumstances of Babylon back during that time. What can we learn today about how to be church from the Jews in Babylon at that time? 10-part series. It's a combination Bible study, DVD, question and answer session. We'll start at 9 o'clock on January 27th. Please join us for this other two-pronged part of our faith formation activities that we're offering at Advent at this time. Finally, some not-so-uplifting news from Bishop Love in the Diocese of Albany. As you may know, in November, he issued a pastoral letter to his diocese, taking a position against same-sex marriages in the Diocese of Albany. The presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has now come out with a pronouncement against Bishop Love. He is restricting, Presiding Bishop Curry is restricting Bishop Love's ministry activities in the Diocese of Albany as it pertains to same-sex marriage. That announcement came out from Bishop Presiding Bishop Curry on Friday night, and I'll have the full. I wrote a response Friday night to Bishop Love, which I'll read a portion of here in a minute. Also forwarded to Bishop Little, with whom we stay in close contact. So I'm asking that you lift up Bishop Love in your prayers. And here's the prayer that I sent him Friday night that I ask you to pray here with me. We ask God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, sustain you in your courageous spiritual battle as you stand firm on biblical truths. Do not waver, do not grow weary. Your Advent flock holds you up in prayer and asks for the Spirit's sustaining power and strength to empower you and overwhelm your adversaries. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good letter, and we affirm, I mean, as an individual and as a church, we affirm scriptural truth. How can you argue with scriptural truth? And that is really a subject for prayer. And I encourage you, with what Dick said, to do that, to pray that that God's word would be honored in thought, word, and deed throughout all of his church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's continue by presenting our offerings to the Lord.
Oh,
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, when he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and said to them, "Drink ye all of it, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all of your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let's pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come and receive in faith what the Lord has provided. communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Exuberantly in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thank you. Do you know what I've been doing?
I need it here. It's in my car.
Where is it?
It's either in my car or in the
It's
phone.
On.
When it's up.
Yeah.
I'm unzipped.
I just found that out. I was turning it up for on.
Yeah, that's right.
No. The opposite.
Yeah. So you were putting it down.